Amen. Psalm 84. Psalm 84. The more I spend time in this psalm, the more, even though I've been saved for years, the more I'm beginning to understand how I need it in the past and I need even more today in the future to appreciate and thank God for the assembling of the saints. I fear the spirit of Psalm 84 is all but lost amongst many ranks of believers today. People don't understand the importance of the assembling of the saints. They don't cherish it as we should. We don't long for it as David does. And there's probably many reasons for that. Biggest one probably being ingratitude and unthankfulness on the part of us as believers. But a lot of people have turned church into politics. It's not anymore about worshiping God. It's about how good the worship singers sing. It's how good the preacher dresses. It's about how good they teach and entertain my children. It's very little anymore about we're going to a place where we're going to meet God and sing praises unto His name, and we long, like David, for the presence of God to show up. I fear if the presence of God showed up in many churches today, people would probably run out the door screaming. And I know I don't say that sarcastically, but it's true. If you would read church history, even scriptures, book of Acts, and see how God moved so mightily in the midst of God's people, you'd be asking yourself, what did we do wrong? Where's God? Why do I leave church so often on Sundays not filled with His goodness and mercy? People talk a lot about the Spirit and how God's presence is in the church. But we should be examining ourselves when we walk through the doors and when we walk out. Have I met with God? Did I prepare the way I should to meet Him? Did I reverence that time that I was called on to worship God? I know I can hear the new generation of believers now. You take that all too serious. You need to loosen up a little bit and just relax. And I'm not saying that's not part of worship. But we're not here to be entertained. We're here to hear from God. We're here to praise Him and thank Him. Not in the flesh, but in spirit and truth. And that's why Psalm 84 is so unique than so many other psalms. You know, the psalmist goes in our psalm from blessed are they that dwell in the house, verse 4, to blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Isn't that amazing? He goes from the multitude to one. For though we meet as a multitude to worship Christ, you know, it is our individual and personal experiences with Christ that draws us here. The dwellers in the house of God are compiled of individualists who come before God with a special heart of thankfulness and praise unique to our own fellowship and experience with Christ through the week. Each one of us walked through that door today and we each had individual experiences with God this last week. We either had severe trials or we had a multitude of blessings. We had temptations. We had failures. We had times of forgiveness and repentance. We've had times of joy. And we bring all that into church as individuals, and we join together with all those different experiences and sing praise unto God. Think about that. It's like a symphony made up of all individual instruments, and they sound beautiful alone, but you put them all together. You put them all together and they make this most glorious and most majestic music That's what church service should be. Bring your heart of sorrow and lift up praise. Bring your heart of joy and thank God. Bring your trials and your temptations and thank God for strength. Bring your repentance and thank Him for forgiveness. And when we all meet with those different unique experiences and we're singing out of different hearts, can you imagine the symphony before God, how that glorifies Him? That's what it's all about. So tell me you don't need church. You lose the whole symphony. Be like a trumpet playing by itself, which sounds okay, but put us all together. When you come to church, bring whatever God has shown you and what you've experienced through the week, bring it through them doors with you. And take it before God when you sing praises. Listen to what you're singing. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the overwhelming flood. What in the world does that even mean? Most Christians sing that and have no idea what he's saying. His oath, God's oath and promise to keep me. His covenant with me for eternal salvation. His blood that covers my sin. Those truths keep me when the overwhelming floods come upon me. And I can. People need to know more about Christ. Get into an intimate relationship with Him. Not on a merely emotional level, but one that's based on biblical facts. What does the Scripture say about God? That's why David loves the house of God. That's why he loves to see saints gather together and worship God. That's why we love to come together. So next time we come into the house of God, remember that when we're all here, we've all experienced different things. Different situations this last week. Sing praise to God in that unique experience and watch how our praise sounds like a symphony. Sometimes I get so frustrated, like I said before, when I see Christians standing there singing and you know their minds someplace else. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us much. We need thy tender care. And they're not thinking about what they're saying. They're not dwelling on that. They're not thinking this last week or what I've experienced, what God showed me. So I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I'm simply saying, remember that. That's what's so special about church. We've come here to meet God. I love meeting you, love fellowshipping with you, but that's not why we're here. We're here to meet with Him. If you don't meet with us, everything we do this morning is in vain. If you walk out that door this morning and you don't feel like you've met God somehow or the Word of God has stirred in your heart somehow, you've wasted your time. I would be very disappointed. And I would be searching myself. Is it first with me, not the preacher? They always like to start with the preacher. Well, he was just off today. Well, maybe you were off today. Maybe you didn't pray right. Maybe it's a multitude of things. More than likely was your preacher off. But still, that's what it's all about. Amen. Can you imagine that? I'm telling you, when we get to heaven and we start singing them songs of redemption, and like that old gospel song says, the cherubims and the seraphims are going to have to be silent because they don't know the song of redemption. I'm telling you, it is going to be so wonderfully glorious. It's going to be amazing. We get a foretaste of it every Sunday here, if we just think on that. But I want you to see this morning for a few minutes. I was going to go farther than I thought, but I don't think I will. There's just too much here. I want you to see the first and greatest blessing which comes from dwelling in the house of God. Okay, in verse 5. I want you to see what the first 4, he said, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, those that are always there, and they will be still praising thee. Watch the first blessing. Look at this. Blessed is the man who strengthened in thee. You see how he brings it from a multitude in verse 4 to 1. He said, this is the individual blessing of those who dwell in the house of God. This is the first and greatest blessing of those who continually come to the house of God. If you're one of those that come in and out like a revolving door, this blessing, you'll know nothing of them or you'll know very little of them. But this is the first and greatest blessing of those who dwell in the house of the Lord. Listen to the word. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Whose strength is in thee. Those who dwell in the house of God come to learn by God's word, preaching, and experience the great blessings of resting in the strength of the Lord. And the great tragedy and danger of trusting in themselves. This is the first and foremost thing we learn. This is what's so important about preaching. This is why I don't believe that every man should get up and open up this book and begin to teach and preach. If you're not called of God to teach or preach this book, I'm telling you from experience and from what the Bible says, you're better off not opening that book publicly at all. Because as soon as you open that book in public and begin to tell people what God expects, God's going to hold you responsible for what you're saying. And I like what an old Puritan preacher said about preachers. He said, I don't care if you spit fire. He said, I don't care if you quote scripture from left to right. If God hadn't put you there, you'll stand before God and you'll be condemned for what you've done. You say, you shouldn't take preaching so serious. This is why our churches are in problem, because there's men in the pulpit that should not even be there. There's men teaching who should not teach because they've not been called to teach. They took it upon themselves. That's why there's a purpose and there's a plan for that. God calls the church, recognizes that. I like how he does that. A man can say he's been called of God all day long, but if the church don't recognize the gifts, he shouldn't be up there. Why? Because God says people will be aware of your gifts. You say, preacher, you seem very serious and very emotional about that. I do. And I am. It's a scary thing to go before God knowing that you're going to be responsible for every individual that you stood up and said, thus saith the Lord. And God's going to hold you accountable for that. All the mistakes you've made, all the errors you've made. Don't do it if God didn't put you there. It's not good. Be not there for many masters, knowing you shall receive the greater condemnation. Why do you feel that way? Because this is where God's people come to hear from God and from the oracles who God put there, meaning the preacher. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God. Paul told Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And patience, for the time is coming, will not endure sound preaching, but they'll turn their ears to itching fables and all that stuff. He said, preach the word. Why? Because one thing we do when we gather saints, we not only worship and praise God with songs and hymns, we sit there and listen to the word of God, because that's God's way of manifesting his perfect and divine will to his people. You say, I can do that at home in Bible reading. Yes, you can. And we ought to. You ought to have every day personal time with God, but nothing will replace preaching. And unfortunately, churches have done that today. They've replaced preaching with a teaching, with fables, with songs, with entertainment. Preaching is put to the side. Preaching should be the utmost, should be the center of the worship service, because that's where God has his men open up the word of God to reveal to the believers exactly what our need is. You'll never preach to yourself. Can you imagine yourself saying, I don't need church, I can preach to myself. Can you imagine yourself standing in the mirror saying, you know what, you sinned this week and you need to repent. I don't think there's going to be a lot of heart in it. But it's not just that. There's a power to preaching that you can't find in Bible reading. And that's why David here says this is blessed, because this is the first blessing of those who dwell in your house that's hearing constantly your word. They find out, they learn by God's word and experience the blessing of finding strength in God alone. Preaching is amazing. It does great things for us. And we should thank God for that. We sang that song, Stand Up for Jesus. The arm of flesh will fail you. You cannot trust your own. So we live a hard week. We come into the house of God. We sing praises. We feel humiliated by our failures. We feel blessed because God's forgiven us. We feel the peace and joy of repentance and of forgiveness. And then we sit down and God's word's beginning to be preached. And it tells us what we need to do and what we haven't done. And it might... you know, humble us a little bit. It might step on our toes a little bit, but then it lifts us up. It picks us up. It shows us where we need to be. It shows us that we can't have confidence in the flesh. It teaches us how to be strong in God, strong in Christ, and in the power of his might. Dwellers in God's house come to learn that to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, one must renounce and forsake all confidence in the flesh. I've been saved over 36 years. I'm still learning that one. So sometimes I used to, in Germany, this is one thing I miss. I used to be able to make conferences. And I'd go to London and sit for a whole week and listen to some great preachers. Even preachers need preaching to, believe me. And I'd go to these conferences and I'd sit for a week and I'd get fed as a preacher. Man, I'd be humbled. I'd be lifted up in a week. I'd be humiliated. I'd be encouraged. I'd be strengthened. So many different things from other preachers that could share things. And there's just something that God does in that teaches us how we should live as Christians, teaches us to be strong in the Lord and not have any confidence in our flesh. You know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9? You remember that great verse, "My grace is sufficient for thee." My grace is sufficient for my strength, not yours, he said. Christ says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." You mean there's something about God that has to be perfected? No, that's not what he means. When he says, "My strength is made perfect," he means my strength has made a greater awareness to you in your weakness. So the weaker you are, the more you'll be aware of my strength. You can't perfect anything with God. He's perfect. But we can have a greater awareness of it. And think about your own testimony, your own living. And I hope and pray it's happened at least a few times here in the last 6 years. But in preaching sometimes, don't you feel as though God has just kind of humbled you a little bit? Kind of made you see things differently? And yet at the same time, you sense the need of that and you sense how it encourages you and strengthens you. And you're glad for it. You're happy for it. I know in this new generation of Christianity, that might be a different story in the prosperity gospel. But I mean, if you really, really have experienced that in preaching, you feel the better for it. You feel you're weaker. But in that weakness, you feel and you're more aware of the strength of Christ. And you realize, I can't do anything without. You know, it's good knowing and realizing and acknowledging and feeling that you can't do nothing without Christ. Can't do nothing, Lord, without you. But oh, to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. That's a blessing. But a man strong in himself can't say that. But a humble believer can. Those that dwell in thy house are blessed by learning a greater awareness of Christ's strength, by their weakness, and a greater assurance of the sufficiency of His grace. Isn't that amazing? A greater assurance of the sufficiency of grace. His grace. My grace is sufficient. That word sufficient means to support you, to carry you. Our brother said something like that in reference in prayer about God supporting us and carrying us and not forsaking us. That's what it means. To be able to sense that, to be able to be aware of that as believers. This is the first blessing that comes to those who dwell in God's house. Those who are constantly there. Those who give attention to it. Those who persevere in it. Who are always there. That's what they get. They get that sense of God's sufficient grace. They're weakened in themselves, but strengthened in Christ. It's amazing. It's amazing. God. Sometimes I'll read George Whitfield's sermons or Jonathan Edwards' sermons, and I know they're in print now, but and I try to figure out how it was back then when they were preaching, and Jonathan Edwards preaching that famous sermon. If you ever get a chance, Google it, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." While he's preaching that sermon, he had to stop multitude of times in the midst of the sermon because he's talking about sinners hanging by a thread over the flames of hell. He had to stop many times because people in the congregation began weeping and moaning, saying they sensed the flapping, the waves of flames hitting their flapping on their feet, and they felt the heat of hell, and he had to stop quite a few times. That's how strong the presence of God was through the preaching. They learn what it is to be strong in the Lord. Psalm 20 says this, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble." You listening? "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary." And strength. Listen to this. "Strengthen thee out of Zion." Sister, you need some help? Jennifer, why don't you watch her, please? We'll make sure she don't fall going down them stairs. That wouldn't be good. But he said, send thee help from the sanctuary. Psalm 20, 1 and 2. Listen to the word. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. That's what David's saying here. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. He learns that by dwelling in the house of God. He learns that from the praise of the saints, from the thanksgiving, from the prayers, from the preaching. Everything that's involved in worship. This is what he gets out of that dwelling in the house of God. This is what we all should get out of it. The praise that we sing should excite our hearts. Hearing our brothers pray and hanging on to every word and thanking God that we have men who can stand up and pray and really touch God with their prayers and touch one another. It encourages us. And then the preaching of the word. He said, that's what they get. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Whose strength is in thee. Beloved, this is not so much a physical strength that the psalmist is talking about. But it's an inward confidence and reliance in God, His providence, His purpose, His will. Whose strength is in thee. A reliance and a confidence in God, His providence, everything He does, His will, His purposes. It's an inward strength. You know, it's like, I hope you can understand. I'm sure you can. There are some times in my Christian life, I'm sure you have, you met trials and you thought about the way you used to be before you were saved. And you thought, you know, I should be falling to pieces. I should be tearing my hair out. But there's just this peace about me I can't explain. This confidence, this assurance. You know who that is? You're learning what it is to be strong in the Lord. That's the confidence, the reliance on God. You know that's greater, that inward confidence and peace of assurance. You know that's greater than being delivered out of your troubles. You know that? If we're always wanting to be delivered, we're nothing but babes. You want to know the presence of God. You want to know the sufficiency of His grace. You want to know His strength and His weakness. Don't always seek to be delivered, but seek something better, something greater, something more pleasant, something more glorifying to God. God, help me to glorify Thee in the fire, not outside. Help me to glorify You here while I'm here. Yes, we'd like to have it removed. But God, if it's not Your will, give me this strength in Thee so that I might stand firm and glorify Your name. In the day when I cried, said the psalmist in 138, in the day when I cried, Thou answered me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Psalm 138:3. Thou strengthenest me with strength, where? In my soul. Not physical. But You gave me inward strength. Proverbs 24:10 says this. Listen to the word of God. If thou faint in the day of adversity. Good verse. If thou faint in the day of adversity, fainting means spirit sinks, you're despairing, you're discouraged. If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Isn't it amazing how he said it's not gone? He just said it's small. You need to grow in it. Why do you think in our daily experiences in life, God sends things our way to kind of, what's the best way we ruffle our feathers? Oh, that just upsets me. God's kind of like going, if that upsets you, and it's that little, what do you do when I bring something major your way? It's almost like Paul saying, I could not give you meat. I had to give you milk because you were yet babes. Meat is for those whose senses have been exercised. So what's God doing? God's teaching us to grow. He's teaching us to grow in strength in Him. So when those little things come up and upset us, it's like God going, you're fainting in the day of adversity. Your strength is small. Find it in me. Learn. It's like steps. Man, I'm sure every one of us can, but I can look back over my 36, 37 years as a Christian, and I can see how God progressively, I'm glad he didn't do back then to me what He does now. I'd have committed spiritual suicide. but He's a loving Father. He don't want us always to be spoon-fed, carried around in His bosom. He wants to set us down and say, now you need to learn to walk. You need to learn to feed yourself now. You need to learn by experience what it is to find strength in Me. Remember when they got to Canaan? What stopped when they got in Canaan? The manna? The quails? In the wilderness? Man, you went to bed and you woke up and you had breakfast. That would be nice, wouldn't it? At evening, what happened? The quails came. You had dinner. All you had to do is open your tent and reach out there and grab yourself some bread. Have lunch and breakfast. At dinner time, reach out there and grab yourself a quail. It was like, man, it was luxury. They got in Canaan. You know what God said? God said, I'm stopping that. You got to feed yourself. You got to go get your own fruit. And wherever your foot steps, that will be yours. If you don't go there, it's not yours. That's what He said. Wherever your foot steppeth, that's your land. In other words, He's saying, you walk by faith now in Canaan. You start getting your own food and you walk by faith. So every step you take, that's yours. But if you don't take the step, if you don't take the efforts to get the fruit, then you're just going to suffer. Faith is the same way. So that's why God does that. So don't get disappointed. And so sometimes people get disappointed at God, at preaching, at the Word, because things like that happen. Don't get disappointed. Be thankful God's showing you and I where our failure's at. Amen? It was like this morning in the car. I was telling them it was kind of weird because I'm laying down doing that echo thing, whatever it is, and He's letting me see the monitor, you know, and I'm seeing my own heart pump. It was just kind of weird. It's like, wow, man, it's just, you know, and then you get the sounds of it. And Nell was saying, well, yeah, they didn't let me see mine. And she said, I really didn't like the sound of that heart beating. And my daughter pops up and she says, well, I'm sure you was glad you heard it. Well, that's a good point. It's the same thing. People get so frustrated at the preacher or at preaching because something's revealed and they're under conviction, and then they don't take that blessing God's given them, which is conviction and enlightenment, and say, you know, God's right. I need to learn this. What a blessing that is. Not, hey, I feel bad because I wasn't perfect. Hello, nobody's perfect. Like an old preacher said one day, and I believe it, God either bless me or convict me. Don't be silent. David said in Psalms, Lord, be not silent unto me, lest I go into the pit like others. David says, don't be silent. Don't be silent. Convict me. Bless me. Because either way, I know I'm growing. I know you're dealing with me. You're talking to me. Do one of the things. And a lot of times when God convicts us, that's a greater blessing than God blessing us. Because it's growth. You following me? Didn't we tell our children that? Growing pains? It's hard to go through these things. But you look back over your life and you learned greater lessons from your hardships than you did your blessings. As a matter of fact, I'm betting you forgot most of your blessings. But them hard times, and I hear it all the time in the nursing home, you know, when we was growing up, we had some hard times. We didn't have as much as they do today, and my daddy had to work from sunup to sundown, and my mama labored and cooked and washed. But I tell you one thing, we were happy. Christianity. Don't get upset when God reveals something that's failing or wrong in us. Rejoice and say, thank you, God, for revealing that unto me so that I might do better by your grace. You love me that much that you're going to reveal unto me. Yes, this is the first and greatest blessing. You learn how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Psalm 73, and I'll hurry a few minutes. He said, my flesh and my heart faileth. Psalm 73, 26. All these verses are in the program. My flesh and my heart faileth. Everything about him failed. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion. David said, my flesh and my heart faileth. But God is the strength of my heart. He learned a valuable lesson. That's not an easy lesson to learn. I'm not trying to say this is easy, and I'm not criticizing or belittling people who are going through rough times and having a hard time dealing with frustration and despair. Believe me, we've all been there, and we're all going to still be there. Everybody gets frustrated. But there's a reason why God allows that to happen, so that we might see, I need to learn more about being strong in the Lord. David said, my flesh and my heart faileth. His flesh failed him. But God is my portion, gives him the supply of all his needs. He enriches us with every great and useful thing. That's what portion means. God is my portion. He gives me everything I need. I love that verse in Psalms. It says, God will perfect that which concerneth me. I love that. That and the other one is, God performeth all things for me. You say, boy, you're pretty selfish. No, think about those. He'll perfect that which is concerneth me. He'll perfect that. He'll complete that. He'll fulfill that which has to do with his salvation in me. And he will meet every need. Beloved, is the dwellers in the house of God, the psalmist is talking about, who are richly blessed with this divine strength. For though the occasional visitor, like the popcorner, might experience small strength, and they will, God is gracious, God is good, it is the dwellers who are blessed with the reality of its fullness. Oh, there are Christians that go, oh yeah, I know God's blessings, but it's very small. Because God's gracious, God's merciful. But if you really want to know the fullness of knowing the strength of God, being strong, or blessed is the man whose strength is in, if you want to know the fullness of that, be faithful to church. Oh, you're just trying to get us in church. That's what David said. David said that's the first blessing comes out of dwellers. Are you a dweller or an occasional visitor? Dwellers are going to be a lot different when rough times comes. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. I want to get the second part of this, but I can't. The time doesn't avail me. In 5, he said, in whose heart are the ways of them? In other words, whose heart are the ways of to Zion? Whose heart are in the way of pilgrimage? In other words, they not only find strength in the Lord, their heart's in the path God chose for them. This pilgrimage to this world, our heart's in it. Do you know if your heart's not in something, you will not be participate? Do you know that? I won't get ahead of myself, but that's what we'll be looking at next week a little bit. But you know, if your heart's not in it, you might as well forget it. You can equip a soldier with the best equipment in the world. If his heart's not in it, that equipment won't help him at all. The dweller's heart. Whew. I am a poor wayfaring stranger wandering through this world of sin. That's a good old song. We used to sing it in the streets of Germany. Poor wayfaring stranger. You know what? I'm getting to love feeling like a stranger. It's time to go home. It's time to meet the Lord. But until that day, oh God, let me find strength in thee. Let my heart be in your way. Let me pass through. I love that next verse. They're not staying in the Valley of Baca. Oh man, I wish I had another hour. But when they would travel to the feast of Jerusalem, they travel through barren land. There would be no water. That's why they used that. They would pilgrim through barren land, and one of them was called Baca, which was very dry. He says, traveling through that barren land spiritually, you make it a valley of tears. In other words, of water. In other words, your tears give you water to drink. Let me ask you a strange question. I hope you can understand this, and I'm sure you do. You ever felt comforted in your sorrow? Sounds like a paradox, don't it? But Christians sometimes are comforted with their sorrow. Do you know that? It's a strange comfort. But the verse says you'll have tears that you can drink of. In other words, those same sorrows are give you the spiritual strength that you need. God is amazing. God. He's an amazing God. This pilgrimage through this life is amazing. 1,000 sacred sweets as we march through Emmanuel's grounds. Hallelujah. I'll see why people get bored being a Christian. Can't happen. Amen. Let me close with this. My anchor holds. Listen to this. I love this song. Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I have an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. Mighty tides about me sweep, perils lurk within the deep, angry clouds overshadow the sky, and the tempest rises high. Still I stand the tempest's shock, for my anchor grips the rock. I can feel the anchor fast as I meet each sudden blast, and the cable, though unseen, bears the heavy strain between. Through the storm I safely ride till the turning of the tide. Troubles almost whelm the soul, griefs like billows o'er me roll. Tempters seek to lure astray, storms obscure the light of day. But in Christ I can be bold, I've an anchor that shall hold. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my small bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds. Beautiful hymn. Amen. Blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee. And you learn that right where you're at when you take it out there. Amazing. God's Word's amazing. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You so grateful for Your long-suffering and Your patience towards us. Father, You know that our hearts are sluggish. You know that we're slow to learn. We thank You, dear God, that the Bible says You know that we're flesh. Lord, may we, like David, say, Lord, show me my end and the number of my days that I might see how frail I am, so that I might know and experience more of the blessing of finding my strength in Thee. Oh, dear Lord, we long to see You. We long to enter those portals of glory and to rest with You forever and ever until that day when we grow weary and tired, when, Lord, we begin to faint. We pray, dear God, that You'd strengthen us and help us. Thank You that You've promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Guide us now, we pray, through this week. Bring us back, if You don't return next week, Lord, with hearts full of praise in our own unique ways, so that we might glorify Your name. We love You and thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. We'll see y'all next week. Be safe on your way home.